You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space, a monthly podcast of artist talks, panel discussions, and other events.
Tēnā tātou katoa. Nō mai hoki mai ki tēnei kaupapa kōrero or the Physics Room. Nō mai, whakarongo mai, whakatau mai. My name is Abby Kinane and I'm the director of the Physics Room, a contemporary art space dedicated to developing and promoting contemporary art and critical discourse in Aotearoa. Based in central Ōtautahi since 1996, we assist artists with resources and opportunities to enable creative and professional development and work to support the acknowledgement and understanding of contemporary art among New Zealanders. Our goal is to actively seek links between the arts and other areas of cultural production, and to involve art as a contributing voice in wider intellectual, social, and political debate.
Kia ora tātou. My name is Amy Wang, and I am the curator at the Physics Room, and welcome to episode 52 of Art Not Science. In this episode, we'll be sharing a talk with Min Young Her. Min's project, Myum, Each Mouthful, a Comma or Period, was the Physics Room's 2023 Ōtautahi Offsite project, hosted by our friends at Movement Art Practice Studio for one night last month. Min's work was presented on a fabric screen, temporarily suspended from the dance studio ceiling with a steel chain link. Its primary motif is the Hanja form, meaning mouth, from which the work expands into a non-narrative dream logic sequence, including imagery of the artist in performance and footage from an endoscope, a type of medical camera used to look deep into the body through orifices such as the mouth. In another part of the space, large still images of dental x-rays were also displayed. Audiences arrived from 7 p.m. as it was getting dark outside and were asked to remove their shoes to enter the studio. The studio opens onto a large car park where there was also space to hang out, talk, eat, and drink. The talk focuses on each of the conceptual elements in Min's work: the mouth, ideas of language, identity, and physical autonomy or agency, as a reflection on this recent project, as well as how these ideas continue to inform Min's research and thinking. This talk was recorded after the exhibition between Abby Kunane and Min when Min had returned to her home in Te Whanganui a Tara. Now let's listen to the talk.
Kia ora, Min, and welcome to
the...
Just to start off with, so I guess just to frame it a little bit, we, for our listeners, Min and the Physics Room worked on an offsite project for our 2023 offsite Ōtautahi program. It was at MAP Studio in Sydenham, which is a dance studio, and Min was a powerful artist who...
Oh.
We built that project, but we didn't. It was a one night only project, and this we didn't build in an opportunity to have a kind of a conversation at that time in public. So we just wanted to reflect back a bit on the work and on what happened, on the ideas about 1 month on. I'm going to say,
yeah, I think it's been about that. Yeah,
some time has passed. Anyway, so welcome, Min, and thanks so much for putting aside time to have this combo.
Of course.
To start off with, would you like to introduce yourself and say where you're from, where you're living?
Yeah.
What would you like to?
So my name's Min. I'm currently based in Pōneki, but I moved up here last year from Ōtautahi, where I'd been living for about 20-something years. I'd immigrated over here with my family when I was like 4. That was from South Korea. Yeah, I feel like being in a different city right now has created a lot of thoughts and jumbled ideas for me, which led to this project.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, let's definitely go back to that. So just to clarify, so you went through ILM School of Fine Arts?
Yes, and I did a major in sculpture and graduated 2019, but it feels like that was... far away from right now. It's like crazy to think about.
I know we met in 2021 and moved down a different project of yours in collaboration with Arissa Kane, was on the Physics Room at that time. So yeah, I met you in the context of, I guess, that practice. So it's been really, really cool and really interesting to me to see the way that things have evolved in your work past that time, and a real joy to work with you on this. Just to go big, like to start with kind of a big frame, if you look back on your practice over the past few years and stretch into the future too, what are some of the like go-to primary ideas that are motivating you, energizing you, and that you're maybe returning to across projects?
I think ever since I'd started uni, I sort of clung to this idea of human relationships or togetherness or some kind of communication between bodies. And originally it was more human-based, like person to person. And then throughout my studies, I think that evolved into more abstract understandings of what communication or connection could be. Yeah, and a lot of that came from this like very embedded sense of feeling like I couldn't truly emotionally or culturally connect with other people due to like a lot of barriers, whether that be like language or culture or age or anything like that. And one of the earliest memories that I had when I came to New Zealand was this like occasion where a kid was talking to me in English, and in my head I knew it was English, but then I instinctively replied in Korean. And that interaction, I think, has sort of, it sparked that trajectory of concepts.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and really I can definitely follow that thread in my like much limited knowledge of your practice, this idea of like translation or the kind of fluidity of moving between different languages, but also ideas and the kind of courage, I guess, that all acts of intimacy kind of take.
Yeah.
Thanks for saying that. It's like a different way as well. So to zero in with some of those ideas on this specific project that we did at MAP Studio, I wonder if you can talk about that, and maybe a good way to start is talking about the title. I know that was something you said to me early on, or this letter form was something that came into our conversation really early. So maybe you can go back a bit to that kind of point.
I don't fully remember what it was about the letter form that I clung to. I just remember I was doing kind of writing practice where I was trying to work through some inner turmoils that I was going through last year, because it was quite a eventful and tumultuous time. And so I was trying to find ways to understand what it was I was feeling and understand and put into words how I was feeling, which I think is a struggle that I have and is the reason, one of the reasons why I leaned so far into sculptural works and felt really at home in doing like a fine arts degree.
Are you saying that point you felt comfortable, you had a kind of relative ease with moving into like visual and kind of physical material?
Yeah, as opposed to like speaking or writing. And during last year, I started revisiting a lot of old films that I was really into. And one of them was In the Mood for Love by Wong Kar-wai. And one of the most like beautiful scenes that have always stuck with me was this part at the end when one of the main characters whispers a confession of sorts into a small hole in a temple and then stuffs it with dirt so that it's been spoken out loud, but in a really intimate secret form, and it relieves him of that I guess intensity of whatever he was thinking or whatever he was keeping inside, but it doesn't have to affect the other party. It doesn't have to create like a kind of, I guess I see it as like a really selfless act, as opposed to being, I don't know if it's selfish, but like it doesn't bring in other people's hearts in a way that would damage them.
Confessing or like wishing to relieve yourself of a kind of a burden or something.
Yeah.
And maybe the next the next moment being like, I really relate to this. I'm like filling in the hole, being like, let there be no trace of that now. Kind of person to person or heart to heart exchange you might have where you're like, you know, share all these things and then subsequently you feel this like sense of exposure or like, you know, the next day you're like, oh my God, I totally I get that feeling.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's like the difference between writing and like a personal journal or writing like a blog for the whole world to see, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. That
yeah. It just doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that scene really like it's always stuck with me, and then rewatching it still like hit me in a way that felt so raw and intense. And then I think because there's like so many beautiful shots of the characters' mouths in this film. So immediately visually I was drawn to that. And then I started thinking about, I can't quite remember who did the work, but I'm pretty sure it was Chen Ye and Al. One of their like a really early video collaboration that they did. And I think it was something about entrance. I can't quite remember, but it was like it was hosted on a website during COVID lockdown. Yeah. And you were able to enter into this like visual space. And one of the major symbols that they used was also that character for the mouth. And so, yeah, all of those things kind of started like colliding together. And I was also looking back at sort of the thoughts of who am I? What am I? And it was like post-personal events. So it was it was a moment of like trying to dissect myself in order to maybe feel better or maybe figure out what was wrong. And that letter form was actually one of the main characters within my name in Korean. So, and it's the one of the middle characters that uses it.
Can you describe the letter form just for the for the ears?
In Korean it's pronounced miyum, and it's basically like a box shape, like a square shape. And it's written in three strokes and is originates from like Chinese characters, but it somewhat mirrors the shape of an open mouth.
Thank you. Yeah, it's cool. It's interesting to me to think of like when you're going, I guess, like trying to evaluate or like figure something else that's quite personal or quite internal, let's say. It's really interesting to think of drawing on all these resources from the world around you, and then being films and being works by other artists. Like, I really believe in this idea of like works of art, works of fiction, works of, I don't know, like cultural works being resources that have like real use value and kind of shoring up our emotional intelligence, like teaching us about ourselves, but just like being something to grab onto when you're not
feeling yourself.
You know, or something like this. You're like, oh, I've got some references. These are things I trust. And I really, that's interesting to me. Yeah. Cause I remember you telling me about this, that letter form, and I was walking somewhere in auto and I was like, you mentioned as well, this idea of like it, references to thresholds or portals, or circular things, orifices, gates. And I was sort of, became this lens on that walk for me, where I was like all these different forms that in some way echoed the one that you told me about. And I was like, I see how this kind of, let's just say like abstract motif, even outside of the letter form, it can be a way of looking at the world. And I think that's an interesting through line. Like when I saw the final film, I remembered walking along and seeing the world through this kind of new shape that you'd offer.
That's so fun. I love that.
That's what this film is. It's kind of almost like a literalization of the idea of seeing through a circle or a mouth even.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
So from that kind of beginning point, maybe let's just talk about the mouth, because I think the mouth is like very, very big in this kind of body of thinking that you've been doing and in this work in particular, and the idea of like direct physical contact, I guess, or the idea of the letter form and the mouth being in direct kind of relationship with each other. Can you talk a bit about the mouth, like why you're so, or how this manifests in the work?
Yeah, I guess within the work, it kind of, it relates back to that sort of like investigation of the self. But I also wanted to reference it as kind of like an investigation into my relationship with language, and in particular Korean language, because it was the first language that I learned as a kid, but now I'm so out of practice, and I don't really have other Korean people around me where we're constantly speaking it. So I've become really like just like terrible at speaking Korean. So this was almost like an exercise for my muscles in a way, because I've been thinking a lot about how the language you speak can literally shape your physical self, and it trains your muscles in such a particular way that certain sounds are so much harder and certain sounds just come so much more easily to you. So I guess within the film where I'm somewhat, I don't know, like grossly licking out the strokes of the letters, there's certain parts where I'm mouthing the pronunciation of the letter form, and that was an act of trying to embed something within my mouth, and maybe that will make it feel more organic, or maybe I'm practicing and hoping that this will be enough to instill that knowledge within my body.
I love that way you articulate it, because it sort of shifts from this idea, or from an idea that language is learned in the brain and sort of stuck in the brain. You've got to fill up your brain with all this vocabulary and whatever else. But in this way, you're suggesting it could start with as important a science as like your body. You're like, I can physically practice it, like going to the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Particular muscles. Yeah. That's really interesting to me. Also wanted to, another sort of key visual element in the film is the sheet, which sort of, I think throughout the film, it kind of sits between you and the viewer. And I was thinking back to some other soft sculptural works that you've made that I've seen, such as a video work with a really massively oversized garment, a shelter that you built it for your graduation show at ILM, this kind of porous meshy hand that I have hanging behind my desk, which also has an aromatic element in it of rice and lavender. But this new work, you've just got this single sheet with a cutout of the letter form. You've got your body kind of in this mode of performance. I wonder if what you think about the kind of line of continuity there. Like, how does that sheet work for you? Is that a garment? Is it a form of shelter? What does it do in this work? And is that performing a kind of continuity from your earlier works? Or is this quite a different thing you see?
It's kind of hard to say for me. I think a part of it is because that I'm currently living in a space where I don't have much area space to do something to the scale that I used to be able to do. So like that's probably one part. And then another part is that experience of watching films and how like watching certain films has led to this build up of ideas that led to the show. So I think that was a catalyst, whether I knew it or not, because I wasn't sure if this was going to be it. Actually, no, I didn't. I wasn't preparing for a show or anything like that. You were just really kind enough to hit me up and be like, hey, this is a film. There's a space for film work. And so I think it just all fell into place really nicely. But then on another hand, while I was going through my research phase, I was revisiting a lot of my favorite choreographers and dance performances. And one in particular is a choreographer by the name of Pina Bausch. And she had made this absolutely incredible rendition of The Rite of Spring. And that piece of performance was just, it's still so striking. It's so impactful. It's so beautiful. The set design is amazing. Mm. And the costuming in that is incredible. And I think that made me really want to make sure that there's some more of a more textural element to the piece, even if it's not directly felt by a viewer. Like, it's still visually there.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So the sheet, and that way you're saying the sheet, were you meaning the performer's body there, or were you meaning that sort of piece of cloth?
I think both. So in a way, like, that sheet that I interact with is both my costume as well as my shelter in a way.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that. And thinking about that, I'm interested in how much you were acting, how much you'd sort of scripted or choreographed this work in advance. I know you have had quite an intensive kind of research period, but was your intention to kind of work quite intuitively with the camera, or were you performing something that you'd scripted quite closely in advance?
I would say somewhere in the middle.
Mm,
like
mm-hmm.
There were definitely certain actions that I wanted to capture, like the tracing of the square form and cutting of the fabric in particular. I really wanted to make sure I included that sort of violent act alongside this like weirdly tender mouth caressing sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of both. In my head, I was like, as long as those elements are there, I think I'll move as organically as I possibly can with the sheet and around the sheet.
It's really nice. It's almost like these poles, eh? Like, you've got this one pole where there's maybe it's about like tenderness and kind of intimacy and even desire. Like, there's kind of a caressing element to it. But then on the other hand, there's this violence maybe inherent in language, the learning of language, being facing barriers in language. Yeah, that's interesting. And then a lot of space. And that's quite a spectrum between those two points. And moving from that, the final work is quite, there's a lot of editing. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's happened.
Yeah.
Talk to me about editing. It's something I'm always interested in. And sometimes people are deeply uninterested in it, and it's amazing. So that could be you. But I'm just curious, you know, there's different effects put on the film. There's also a whole different type of footage that comes from an endoscope. Just touch on the sort of editing decisions you made.
Yeah. So I guess along with the endoscope footage that my partner and I were able to capture, I think I wanted to edit the film in a way that would really, I don't know, like, gross people out in a way, like, make them feel kind of dirty, but not to the point where they'll be put off or really traumatized or anything like that.
For sure.
Yeah, so the endoscope footage is actually from us putting the camera in our mouths, trying to force it down our throats.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, I did put it in my vagina.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because this is what the endoscope does, eh? Like, it's a camera that can go inside bodily orifices and kind of put data in there. Yeah.
Exactly. And it has the like medical element to it, where it's used to find foreign things within a body or tumors or things like that that shouldn't belong there. Yeah, locating the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something we wanted to do. And I think I had this idea that I wanted to try and bring to life, where I wanted to somewhat turn myself inside out.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Like, it was like it's like the mouth is the entrance. The mouth can also be the exit. And then I was thinking about sort of skin forms, the feeling of your body or your skin not feeling like your own, and you're sort of disassociating, and so turning yourself inside out, like taking off your clothes and trying to clean it and then put it back on, or something like that. Yeah, like a refreshment of yourself. Yeah,
that's a really interesting articulation. Lots of different thoughts when you talk about that, but and on that idea of refreshment, like what it means to I guess, expel things that are inside that are difficult, but also what it means to, look after yourself in a kind of worldly, bodily sense as well. Like, what if inside and you could just care for your external self rather than
Exposed? I don't know if that really answered the editing question, but
it was more on the endoscope thing, which I think is important. Just to ask, why did you want to gross people out? Like, I love this, particularly when there's elements of it that are so like exquisite. So I like that kind of tension, but do you just like gross stuff? Like, what's your
I just really like gross stuff. I'm always drawn to like disgusting parts of the human experience, like the bodily, the experience of having a flesh form is so gross.
Yeah. Well, I think it's such an interesting part of your work.
I don't know. I think it's really funny when people are grossed out by things that are so commonplace. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, there's like a whole narrative of what's like forced to be a sub-narrative when we're trying to make beautiful bodies and beautiful lives.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like pretty close to the surface.
Exactly. Yeah.
So just because I don't want to drop it, the editing thing, was that like, does that feel like part of making the story for you, like making the work, or is it kind of a final phase to just like do you see the editing thing as a creative act, or is it more like mechanics to make something, your vision be realized?
I would say for me it's more of a creative act, mostly because I don't know a lot of technical aspects in editing. Most of it, if not all of it, is me working as intuitively as possible, trying to feel out how the work flows and how I think it will look on the screen or on the how it will affect the viewer.
I have to say that for me, that was a really enjoyable part of our dialogue, was like you were generous in showing me an early kind of draft, and then it was really cool like having some opportunity to provide feedback. And then I really loved the way, I guess even from the very first draft, I loved how you had like multiple textures in there, and there was a real sense of like the idea to me felt quite coherent, but it would go between like almost different worlds, kind of whole, as you see this idea of turning inside out, would be like, are we in the gut or like outside the body? I think that's quite an amazing thing to be able to kind of traverse so much, formal diversity, but still maintain this really kind of tight sense of a story.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
So there were also two others, as well as this moving image work, there was also two still images in the show, which I think are dental x-rays.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just remember when we were talking about them and about the scale to produce these prints, you were like, big is really good, like the scale is really important, I want the experience to be monstrous. Do you just mind returning to that idea, like about, well, why those works were in the show? I guess I've got some ideas, but also how that kind of monstrous element came out when we were talking about that component of the show.
Yeah, those were dental scans from, I think I was in high school and I was like about to get my braces.
Mm-mm.
And it was, I vividly remember getting them because it was one of the most uncomfortable experiences ever. It was awful. And I remember choking on the mold that they put in your mouth.
Yeah.
It just is huge and it's filled with the silicone or whatever that they get your jaw form and stuff. And obviously, I guess the most obvious connection to the work is that it's my mouth. It's a very literal presentation of the body and the structures that I'm working within. But I was kind of thinking about that training aspect, I guess, of the muscles, and then the training aspect of the braces that were about to be put onto my teeth. That was one part of it. And then I think the monstrous side, I was just very drawn to the idea of it being big enough to make people think that it could eat them. Like, yeah. So that I kind of like how I was like eating the endoscope or eating the fabric.
Yeah. Sort of like the inside and outside barrier.
Yeah.
Transgressed or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're a really cool element to the show because they did. I felt slightly afraid of them for some reason. Yeah. Like, because we had this conversation about the monstrous thing, or maybe I'm just really soft, but I felt like they represented a kind of like, I don't even know, like a record, a type of record that it's like we don't get really any agency in deciding. It's just like this internal substrate that we just have, you know. There's like hardcore interventions like braces and splints and things like that, but really it's some kind of material substantial level, like your bones are you.
Yeah. It's that funny thing that people say, like, if you think too hard about it, like, I remember someone telling me, like, oh, your bones stay wet all the time. So it's stuff like that.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing. It's like,
yeah.
Hey,
you're not wrong.
But it's like, what is wet when it's like,
yeah,
so like that? I'm like,
exactly.
What would be dry? Like, yeah. In terms of life. Final question for me. I think it'll be silly to finish this without talking about the site, because that was really, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is an offsite show. So it was a kind of fundamental thing that things from a practical perspective were that it would be not in our regular gallery space and it would be within Ōtautahi somehow defined. So I went through a few different site possibilities. And with every one, I think it like conferred, of course, this like different set of, I don't know, like conditions for the work to kind of engage with. So I really thank you for being so open to engaging with like a bunch of.
Yeah, no, it was really exciting to think about it. Yeah.
I suppose with each different site, like something that I felt quite aware of was like as the curator, as someone like thinking about the conditions that the work could be going into, I was like, really the level of kind of intimacy and publicness. Yeah. I mean, in one respect, like everything we do at the Physics Room is like free and public because we're a public kind of space. So there's no question of things being kind of exclusive. But on the other hand, of course, there's like infinite levels of how public, which publics have access. So eventually we settled on this dance studio at MAP, one night only show. So it was quite a condensed kind of event, I guess, almost more than it wasn't very durational. It was like maybe 3 or 4 hours. How did that, looking back, how did you feel that worked in relation, you know, within the project, and has it made you think of it, made you think more about occupying non-gallery sites or alternative spaces in the future? Or what was the experience like for you, I guess is my question.
Yeah, I really loved it. And I like looking back at it and thinking about the underlying connection of it being a dance studio as well. And then like my own personal practice as a dancer, and then my research that I did for the work that included like prominent choreographers. So all of those things kind of like, even if other people didn't know about it, it made me feel really happy and really excited about showing something like this there.
Yeah, I had a similar sort of thing, like, you know, when we were doing the installation, like preparing for the show, and there was a number of posters and images around the space that related to the different dance, like to the dance community. And we took those out just to have the most, I guess, kind of like simple space visually. But as I did that, I was like, oh, it's really, I don't know, like your work is a language that really does have some quite strong connections in that space. And then just circling back to how you started off by saying some key ideas in your work around like coming together or like human relationships. When I look at the images from that night, from that event, I'm just like, oh, the humans, you know, all so many dates and so many people came into that event in this quite like compressed space-time thing. It was a very like, I don't know, like it was an event about being together. It was a work about being together, and it really did kind of complete that idea, having everyone come and spend that kind of that evening together.
Yeah, I felt like I thought it was really special how people gathered. And then even though we took out the other posters and things like that within the space, the space itself was still very obviously a dance studio to everyone. And I really love that you had to take your shoes off to go on the floors because the liner is expensive and you can't damage it. And then people physically engaging with the bars that were there because it's just there. It's a physical structural thing. And people leaning on things, people sitting down on the floor, and some people reminiscing about their time when they were little girls doing ballet because they thought it would make them pretty or whatever. And just talking about those experiences or hearing people talk about those experiences while watching the film together and while eating and drinking, I think it was just, it was everything that I want in an exhibition kind of context, I think.
Oh, it's really interesting. I mean, I really would love to revisit some of the other sites that we talked about.
Me too.
Hosting in a very public, like a street kind of space, or a club, and just, yeah, I guess I just want to encourage you to like keep pursuing. I'm really here for that. I also had a reflection on that night when I was like, it's funny how a room like this, you know, it's made so very much in tune with, like, I guess the body, and we can definitely that more and be like, a disciplined body that is a dancing piece. It's not necessarily like a super inclusive kind of like body space to bodies. But I was like, it's so funny that most of the time that I spend in kind of close kind of awareness of the architecture, I'm in a gallery and they're like very much not really made for bodies. Like, it was really nice to have that floor, which felt kind of like it elevated you a bit. It was a bit springy. You sit on the ground and stuff like that. And I was like, it's very strange that we're like constantly assuming that it's like a thing for humans to spend time in like gallery spaces, but they can be places of quite a lot of physical discomfort.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with that, but I'm like, it was a good place to be for that night. So thank you.
No, thank you for just everything. Thank you.
Aww.
I had such a fun time.
Oh, kia ora, man. Thanks heaps.
Kia ora.
That was Min Young He talking about her work, Myeom, each mouthful a comma or period. There are documentation images up on our website at physicsroom.org.nz. Our current exhibition, I Am a Salt Lake by Anna Iti, is on here in the gallery until Sunday. Following that, we have an exhibition by Selena Oshadi and James Tapsil Kururangi, curated by Amy Wing, and opening 5:30 p.m. on Friday, the 27th of October. Thank you for listening. Tune in next month on Friday, the 17th of November, 8 p.m. for our next episode of Art Not Science. Hei toa wa.
The Physics Room is generously supported by Creative New Zealand, the Christchurch City Council, the Rata Foundation, Three Boys Brewery, Scientech, and the Crater Rim.